With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to week 8 of Survivor New Zealand. I am Nick Iadanza, the Survivor Know-It Oz, and I am here to break down everything that's happening in the penultimate week of Survivor New Zealand for you guys out there in Ahab land. Thanks so much for joining me, and thanks so much for joining me across this whole season. It's been a lot of fun, and as we near the end, I wanted to bring in someone who I would say is the definitive source for all your Survivor AU and Survivor New Zealand news. He is, I'm going to call it, the professor.
Oh, the professor. Come on, Nick.
He is the professor of Survivor down here, down under.
Down under.
And that would be my mate, Ryan Brink. Welcome, Ryan.
Nick, how you going, mate? Look, I'm super excited to be on RHAP because we had talked about this when you actually got back from the island, Nick. I don't know if you remember, but I said to you how cool it'd be if Nick Has a Podcast actually became a thing. And now it's actually a thing. So I've been like super proud of you. And if I was ever going to break my RHAP virginity with anyone, I'm glad it's you.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad we lost the V plate. I'll go easy on you. But Ryan, let's explain the background story here. So Okay. You are we actually went to school together.
Yes,
all through high school.
We did. High school, same year level, same classes. I still distinctly remember you coming in and like recapping the OC. So I knew that you'd be good at recapping Survivor.
All those years ago. Yeah, but the funny thing is I didn't know that you liked Survivor, and I guess you didn't know I liked it either, and we just kind of like went our separate ways after school. And it wasn't until like I think it was like two or three nights before I left for Australian Survivor that I was reading through some articles that were starting to be published, and one of them was you had written it, and it was about the casting types that need to be written.
Casting types.
That's right. That should be included in Survivor Australia. And one of them was like the schemey guy. And I was like, oh, I wonder if this author, you know, wonder if they'll think that's me eventually. And I scrolled down and I was like, what? Like Ryan? I know that guy. And I was like laughing the whole time I was out there. I was like, he's going to die when he finds out that I'm on the season. And yeah, so we got in touch when I got back, and it's been great ever since. You have become, without a doubt, the definitive source, the definitive, I don't know, the font of all knowledge.
So I appreciate that, Nick. That's very nice of you to say. Look, I think that as someone who was just a bit of a pest to people and pestered people to chat to me during the season, I was very fortunate to be able to chat to every one of you guys last season, all 24. And yeah, I'm so excited about Australian Survivor coming up, and we'll talk about that later, but like Survivor New Zealand and watching you just grow from strength to strength, it's just been brilliant.
Well, so you've got your own podcast.
I do, yep.
Called the
Australian Survivor Community.
Would you like to?
Yeah.
Okay. So Australian, definitely. It's awesome. And I think that you do such a great job with these New Zealand exit interviews, which is something that, you know, there's just no way I have the time to do that. So, I props to you. And I'd love to get your insight, because you do have a ton of insight on New Zealand Survivor. And I hear, Ryan, that you are actually part of the press tour for the finale.
You have heard that correctly. Yes, I am heading to New Zealand, heading to Auckland on the weekend for the Wednesday finale. And I think Survivor New Zealand, it's even worse than Australian Survivor. I think there's going to be like four nights in a row almost. So it's going to be a big ride. But this season, it's just dragging and dragging and dragging. It's been good. It's been bad. But I'm so excited. I'm going to get to exit interview all the players as they come out in Auckland. So I'm super excited to head over there and chat to the players, but it's been really good chatting to all the players so far, apart from D. And that's the devastating thing, because D is the one who spoke about listening to 40 hours of podcasts a week, and I'm yet to speak to D. So I'm hoping to chase her up while I'm over there.
That it would be, again, so devastating for that poor girl. Like she not only was a big fan, she went out there, she was the first one out, and she didn't even get to speak to you. So hopefully you can get that happening. But you're going to be over there for the finale. So the finale's next week.
Yep.
We think there's going to be 3 or 4 episodes or something like that in a row next week.
Yep.
You're going to have a lot of stuff on your plate. A little note that next week here on the Know It Oz, it's not very good timing. I'm actually leaving on my honeymoon, and it was booked well before I knew that I was going to be having this podcast, and it's during school holiday. So I'm actually going on an African safari, and I will be out of action next week. So I have a feeling, Ryan, someone who I think you are going to be really happy to hear from, because I know that you've been listening. I have the great Mike Bloom filling in on the Know It Oz.
Yes, Mike, I love Mike Bloom. Like, seriously, he is just a fountain of knowledge. If there's anything that's ever happened in Survivor and you want to know, I think Mike is the perfect person. I loved that episode he was on with you as well, Nick. He's just so funny.
It was the longest episode we did, and it was by far, like, it was so entertaining. He is just the best. So he'll be on, and just as if that wasn't enough, we've got the great Liana Boris coming in and speaking with Mike to cover everything, the finale. She's been keeping up. She is so great on the podcast, and she said she would be more than happy to fill in, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to say I don't think people are going to want me back after that duo. And I would agree with them. I would rather listen to them than listen to me. So keep an eye out for that, guys, next week. Unfortunately, I'm sorry that I won't be here, but hit me up on Twitter. And if I get Wi-Fi in the middle of the Botswanan jungle while I'm camping, I'll respond to you. But I think they'll keep the microphone warm while I'm gone.
So Nick, we can confirm you're not doing a John Cochrane. You're not going to be on Australian Survivor giving advice to a player, you know, Redemption Island, or you're not going to be out there at all.
It's safe to say that if they ever asked me to do that, which they wouldn't, I would firmly say no. So, Ryan, we've got a lot to cover. We've been gasbagging on for a couple of minutes, but we've got a lot to cover here about this big week in Survivor New Zealand. And I guess we should probably start with the top story. And that top story is what happened in the second episode at the end. We have Arvi turns on Shay and votes her out.
Crazy. And he went against his word. Can you believe this, Nick? Someone who has lived by the morals of mateship, loyalty, and at this point of the game, he's decided, you know, I've got to make my move and I've got to actually vote out my key ally. Arvi is someone I really liked at the start of the season, and gradually he's just, I don't know what's happened, but there's been this whole moralistic viewpoint from him where he feels like he has to play this honorable, safe game. And I think it's really bitten him in the ass, because now he's put himself in a position where he's had to go against the Core Alliance. And I don't know where he goes from here, Nick. I'm not high on Arvi anymore. I think he could go to the end and still not do very well. I don't see him winning this game at the moment.
Arvi wears on my every nerve. Like, I think that he would be the nicest person in real life.
Super nice.
I think he's done so well to have everyone's confidence. He said, I think everyone trusts me and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I think he's right. But it's just, you've gone this whole game, you know, beating this drum that when someone turned on him, he freaked out and was like, you know, you gave my word. And then at the end, he's realized, oh crap, I've given my word to too many people. And it's true. And then, like, he was in a lose-lose situation. And I don't want to make the comparison, because I think that it's not a straight comparison, but it's kind of what happened with Lee, in that you hold yourself to a standard that other people don't expect you to be held to. And then people hold you to that standard. And it's unfortunate, because Lee played a great game and Arvi's playing a great game and he still might win the whole thing. But I just think he puts himself on this standard that it's just not achievable. And it's what happened tonight. And whether Shay has no bitter feelings or she does have bitter feelings, it's not going to read well to the jury that what your catch cry you've now turned on.
Mate, like, I completely agree. And it's so funny you talk about Lee, because I was thinking the same thing watching this episode. And when you live by that standard, it's going to come and bite you in the ass. And that's what's happening with Avi right now, where I feel like he's just locked himself in with Tom for some reason. I don't know what is his fascination with keeping Tom. It's been a story arc for the whole season where very early in the game, it was, we've got to save Tom, we've got to save Tom. And it's been against going with Shay and Sala, and it's always been that counterance. And we saw this massive story arc this season, Shay versus Tom. And two times now, Tom has voted out Shay. And I'm a little devastated because I've loved some Shady Shay. I think she's had some moments where I'm like, oh, it's a bit cringe. It's a bit cringe, but like, she's had some great moments as well. At least she's willing to play the game and make a move, where there are so many people out there who are just like, nah, I said to you, I'm never going to write your name down, so you're safe. Like, that's absolute BS, Nick. Like,
I hear you. Before we get to Shay, I just want to talk, let's talk about that whole Shay Tom thing.
Yeah.
And what is his fascination with keeping Tom? Because Tom is someone who voted against Avi and was tricking Avi way back on the, I think, was it the Sala vote or, I think it was it, no, I think it was the vote where, yeah, there was a Sala vote. And he's gone back into the fold with him, and Shay hasn't turned on him. So I was trying to think, you know, what is it that pushed Avi to vote Shay out? And I think there are three key reasons. I think the first thing is that he was really pushing shit up a hill that no one wanted her to be there.
Yep.
And there's only so long you can fight. And I feel like this whole season he's been fighting to keep Tom when people didn't want him, fighting to keep Shay when people didn't want him. And, you know, that really wears you down. It's really hard to argue to keep someone. The second thing is, I think that Tom winning immunity has locked him in with Avi. And I think that if Tom had lost immunity along the way, Avi wouldn't have felt bad clipping him.
Yep.
But he's kind of like, the immunity necklace has locked him, has like kind of handcuffed him to Avi. And the third thing is the lie that she told earlier in the week in episode one. I think those three things combined pushed Avi to break his word. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I think that it's been such a difficult position where I feel like the biggest reason that Avi has gone this way is, and we'll get to Barb, but Barb's big change of heart in this game has really thrown a big spanner in the work, where he's almost guaranteed a pathway to the end. And if you don't have people who are willing to make a move to get out someone else, Tom keeps winning immunity. There's no other people. Like, who else is he going to target at this point? It's either Shay or Nate. And Nate is obviously someone who they think is an easy beat at the end. And it looks like Barb's is almost agreeing to just let him go to the end with the two boys. So he's made the right decision for himself, but he's also made the wrong decision because he has no chance of winning.
Yeah, it's really odd. It's an odd end. I'm feeling like, I think it's very interesting. I didn't know which way it was going to go, to be honest. And I really did think that Nate was going, and I feel like it's probably one of the first major times this season where I was wrong, and I'm sure people did guess it.
Yeah.
But I genuinely thought that it was a misdirect and that Nate was going to go home. But especially when they, you know, they included him crying and, you know, missing his home and stuff, because it's kind of what happened to Sala. But yeah, it is a strange end. It's intriguing, but it's definitely strange.
So
especially when Avi professed his love for Shay at Tribal Council, I thought that was a bit thick, like laying it on a bit thick.
Yeah, it was. I feel like, was there an underlying conversation that we didn't see? Did Avi actually go to Shay and say, look, you are actually going tonight, I'm going to be voting you out? I don't know. I was
You'd have
pleased.
To imagine.
Yeah, that has been going on the whole season. I do imagine that at least he voted for Shay. I did like that, because so much this season, Nick, and it's probably graded you as it has me, watching people say, oh, I can't vote for that person. They just throw a random vote at someone random. That's been so annoying. So I am pleased that at least he voted that way. It is interesting you talk about Nate and where he is in the game, because he's been asleep pretty much for 15 episodes. And I felt like we saw more of Nate tonight and the episode spike in his edit. So I can get where you think he was going to go. Like, what was your opinion when you're watching and you're seeing Nate have a discussion to Barb's about, maybe we should take out Avi at this point. Maybe he's the one we should keep, because Shay would be someone great to go to the end with.
Yeah, I was like, do it, target Avi, like, get him out of there. Like, because at that point he hadn't turned on anyone and his stock was quite high with the jury, especially a jury that I would assume people like Sala and Lee, these are people who, you know, value that kind of, you know, honest game, that I wouldn't want to sit next to Avi. But the weird thing was that they were all saying, like, you know, get out Shay, get out Shay. It was like, But they, at the same breath, they're acknowledging that Shay has played an untrustworthy game. And it's like, well, isn't that the person you want to go to the end with? So I just thought that was really strange. And I was so excited when Nate was saying that he was going to target Arvi, but it was kind of like he dipped his toe in and then he kind of realized that that's probably going to, he was going to drown in that plan and ran away from it. And it's like, it's again, like a half measure kind of thing. Like it just was odd. Like,
yeah,
I was disappointed that he didn't follow through.
But I feel like, at least he had the right idea and that is the right play at that point, but he's so hamstrung by the people around him. Like we've got Barb swinging in the hammock of doom and she's just waiting for something to happen. And I don't like Nick, I don't know. Like I'm watching Barb's and I was so excited because I felt like there's this lady and she's done nothing for the first part of the game. She pretty much slept all the way up to God. I don't even know. Like around the part she gets Sal around and she's suddenly woken up and she's directing and all these game moves and then all of a sudden she's just gone back to sleep in her hammock. It's just I don't get what she's doing.
Yeah, I thought it was funny when we were getting the commentary from Redemption Island and he's like, oh, right now the geriatrics are being fed their multivitamins and their caregivers are feeding them porridge, and I was just waiting for them to actually cut to a shot of them bringing them food, just like coincident. But we didn't get that, so I feel like we were robbed on that front.
Yeah.
But exactly. I feel the exact same as you, Ryan, that I was so excited that, you know, that here comes Barb, like, you know, the giant, the sleeping giant has awoken and here she comes and she's got this kind of cold, calculated sense for the game and that she's not being painted. She was kind of being painted, not villain as a villain, but like with a villainous streak. And then it just kind of, this week was the complete turnaround of that.
Yeah.
And that's so disappointing.
I don't get it.
Do you think it's real? Do you think? Okay, so just to reset for people, it's Barb's tells. She says, "I'm okay to go anytime. I don't want to go to the end. I'd be mortified to get to the final three." And you know, we had a question. A couple of people wrote into me, like Ben Martell was one of them. Is Barb psyching out Tom, or is this real? So, do you think this is real? Is she spinning a line, or is this real?
No, I don't think she's just being genuine that she wants to help Arvi and Tom for some reason make it to the end. I don't know, because she had a really great time on the reward. It's just she said at the reward, Nick, I wrote it down, I want someone who has something special to go to the end. Something special.
Yes.
Like what the hell have you been doing? Like you've just played this game for 30 plus days. You've subjugated yourself to the harsh conditions, no food, starvation, mental drain. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I actually don't want to win Survive New Zealand. I wish that like these two young, nice lads can win Survive New Zealand. And I'm just happy to let them win. Are you kidding me? Like that is absolute BS.
Yeah. Look, but I want you to ask her when you meet her in a couple of days, want you to ask her about this. Was this a trick of editing? Because the confessional which you're talking about, I noticed that the sentence did kind of get cut off halfway.
Yeah.
And I think that it would be interesting to actually figure out exactly what the rest of that sentence was, because maybe she was saying, look, I do want to win, but like, you know, I also want other people who deserve to be there, because maybe in that same breath she was saying, I definitely don't want Shay to win or something like that. So
But I ask you this then. So why does she have a conversation with Nate and Nate's talking about the RV? Like, is he someone that we could possibly take out? And then cut scene, we see Barb's walk over and have a discussion with Tom and say, oh, look, Nate's being a bit, you know, shady. He's talking about getting out RV. And I want you guys to know this because my trust is with you. Like, this is just... I'm perplexed by her game decision. Why would she even want to align with someone she can't beat?
Well, is it at all possible, and hear me out, and this is a long shot, is it at all possible that she is gone, all right, well, I turned on Shannon. I was seen as this kind of like, I'm not doing anything. I did this big move for Sala and I'm still not getting credit for it. I need another one. And do you think at all that her plan is, I'll vote out my biggest ally and I'll get rid of Nate? Is it that at all? So she's like in for a penny, in for a pound. Is that at all possible?
I don't know. I feel like there's a really long bow.
Can everyone out there, I want you to do, everyone pick up your phones right now and open Twitter and send us a tweet. Is Barb telling the is well, what's the way to word it? Is Barb playing them, or is she being legit that she wants to go to the end and lose? Because I want to know what you guys think. So hit us up on Twitter at Nick Idanza, at what is it, Ryan V Brink
at Twitter.
Hit us up. We want to know, because yeah. I can't figure it out, and I think we could probably argue it for the next hour and still not come up with a decision.
Yeah. I'm still so confused, Nick. I've got no idea, because I was so high on Barb's. I know you were as well. You gave her a player of the week at least last week, and I think totally. I gave her the same thing. And it's just, why? And we saw the promotion, even the Survive New Zealand Facebook page is posting pictures of her in like the Godfather scene. And it's just, this is this woman who came alive, was playing such a good game, and then for her just to throw it away, it doesn't really make sense. But what I also didn't quite get is that the narrative around Barb's was, you're right, she wasn't getting credit for her moves, and everyone was like, no, we're still like to go to end Barb's. Like, she's a perfect person to take, but yeah. I have no idea. So is it just the editing making out like she was more powerful than she was? I don't really know, but
I don't think so. I think that's
feel
just
like she was making moves.
I think that's just symptomatic of the season that we're in, that it's somewhat, we see the kind of huge remorse that like Shannon is forced to feel for playing the game. And I think that, it's just symptomatic of, the group think out there about people who play the game. Even Shay, who's like turned on people before, she said like three times this week, she said, I don't want to play that game. Now, whether you're just saying that to other people, that's totally fine. But like the fact that verbiage is out there, I really do think that that's what people are wanting to hear. And most of them probably believe it.
Yeah.
A chance, Ryan, that like when she's spinning this line, this, I think the interesting one would, I'd be mortified to get to the final three. Is this the new take me to the end, you can beat me?
That's a really great question, Nick. Yes,
it's so interesting. I don't want to go to the end. I'd be mortified to get to the final three. That is so interesting. I'm okay to go at any time. We've heard people say that before at the beginning of the game. Look, I'm okay. If you vote me out, I'll go home, blah, blah, blah. But like that, she's in the final five. She's got something on her resume that seems quite good. She's got a loyal ally in Nate, and she's saying, I'd be mortified to get to the final three. So I don't know. We've talked about her enough, but I think that there's a case to be argued that maybe that's the new take me to the end, you can beat me. And if so, that's pretty good.
But why? Like, do they get prize money like in the United States? I don't think they do. So
no,
there's
no
real incentive.
Kind of like the sleeping giant can wake up at final tribal council and blow them all away with, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think I'm doing a lot of fan fiction here.
Potentially. But I don't know. Barb's, she's still one of the most fascinating people this season for me post-merge. So if she turns it around the next couple of episodes, and she could still have a good narrative for why she should be the winner of the season. She's definitely been shown enough. So yeah, I think there's still potential in her.
Let's talk about Shay and the lie that she spread to Arvi about Tom's intentions. So she says to Arvi that Tom just said to Nate, we should vote you out. And that sends Arvi into a bit of a spin. And then Arvi kind of, being the stand-up guy that he is, he goes straight away and asks Tom point blank. I thought Tom handled that really well, to be honest.
I felt he did a really good job as well. I like that he was just like, mate, seriously, this is just complete BS. I like that he just owned it as well. I was like, this is not actually true. Yep. Go back, go say something to her. I'll go face her. Just hitting that straight on the head straight away, which I felt was a really good thing for him to do. But it comes back, why does she feel like she has to plant her little Shay seeds everywhere and just spread that around? And it doesn't seem to be working with the people who are left in the game.
I think that Shay is inconsistent in the way she plays this game. She has these streaks of really good stuff, and then she just has these like huge swaths of mediocrity. And speaking of someone who is a mediocre player, like that is not a dig, Shay. That is like, it's a hard game, but it's really hard to follow whether she's a good player or not. And I'm going to go back to what I said at the very beginning of the first episode with Phoebe. If everyone can remember back to that first episode, I said, I'm going to give Shay the fishy. Oh my God. the Danzy. I'm going to give her the player of the week, but I will retroactively take it back from her if I don't get a sense that that was a intentional move and it was just kind of accidental. And I feel that's kind of been the vibe I've been getting the whole time. It's just been, yeah, that was good, but was it intentional? And then she says this and it doesn't seem right. And this was good, but that was bad. And it's, yeah, not consistent. That would be the theme for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's just been a lack of consistency in her game. I have liked her. She was so funny watching the show because she was portrayed as such a villain early on, but I feel like she had just had this huge underdog edit when she came back from Redemption Island, hit away at the merge. And I don't know, Nick, do you feel like she could come back? Do you think there's any chance she could get back into this game from Redemption Island?
Shay,
that is.
Not feeling it. I don't think so. I think her story's run its course. Yeah, I think it would run its course. I just don't see that happening, but who knows? Redemption Island, it's always such a crapshoot, especially that last game that we've seen in the preview, which is the Gabon and Heroes Villains Challenge, where you hold the poles on the upper side of your palm and you kind of... Oh, I had nightmares that was going to be a challenge I had to do out there because it just seems so scary. But... And that's a challenge that anyone can win because it can be over in like 4 minutes. So
Nick, as well, and something that really came up from that episode as well was there's a bit of a discussion around whether it's actually going to be one or two people who returns to the game. And I had to do a rewatch and that's what I picked up. So could Survivor New Zealand actually be bringing two people back to the game and not one? And if they did, like, how does that change the whole dynamics in the whole tribe? Because I think if two people come back and say you get like a Jack and a Mike come back, that puts people in a really different position. Where does Tom stand? Where does Arvi stand? Like, it's just this whole season with Redemption Island so late in the game, it really is throwing up so many different possibilities.
Look, I don't get the sense that two people are coming back. But Jeff Pittman, the great Jeff Pittman with all great stats out there, sent me a tweet saying, will one or two people come back from Redemption Island? We're only on day 32 of 40. And it makes sense that they would bring two back, but I don't know. I don't get that. I don't get that sense. I think it's probably just going to be one, but they're just like stringing it out onto like the finale.
Yeah.
The finale week anyway. Is that what you think?
No, I don't know. Like, I felt like that the first time I watched it, but watching the episode just before we chatted again, there was a conversation in the shelter about the possibility of two people coming back. I think it was Nate, Shay, and Tom discussing what happens if both Jack and Mike come back. So it's, I don't know if they're foreshadowing or not, but it's Survivor New Zealand. I think the big thing with Survivor New Zealand is that anything is actually possible. So I don't know.
Yeah, true. Good point. Well, let's talk about Redemption Island. So the first episode of the week starts with Shannon. You know, they've been building up this thing. What will happen when Shannon goes to Redemption Island? And it's like, oh my God, she's going to face Mike. And then she walks in and then everyone just starts laughing. It was so anticlimactic.
I know.
There were no fireworks.
There were no fireworks. Well, is it just jury management, Nick? So you're someone who's been on a jury before. Like, do you think that he's just trying to butter her up and make sure that the relationship is fine and it wasn't too foregone? So if he does come back to the game, that he still has a chance of getting her vote? Because they, you know, they did spend a lot of time together before they had the eventual merge. So there was a relationship established there. And if he could demonstrate that he has played a really good game and that relationship could be healed, she's a potential vote. So I do understand why he maybe held off biting his tongue a little bit and not ripping into her again. And I think like we saw the fundamental change in Shannon's game. I love Shannon, by the way. Like, she was my favorite of the season by a long way. Like, absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Love Shannon. And we saw after her come back in the last week where it was that, you know, that understanding in her head that, oh my God, I'm being seen as the villain by everyone, that made her cost herself of the game by stop playing. So I don't know. It's an interesting way that this season has been shaped. It's interesting the way that Shannon saw herself, but I'm still just devastated that Shannon's gone. It's just, I'm heartbroken.
You spoke to Shannon. Give us the highlights. How was she? Cause she was my favorite as well. And someone that I really would love to, you know, and I've spoken to her really briefly and just through messages and stuff. But what sense did you get from her about the way she played the game and how she felt about her exit?
I think she regrets her exit by she just stopped playing. I think she regrets that she didn't just suck it up and keep playing that game, wearing that, you know, snake badge with honor, Nick. That's what she needed to do. I think she recognizes that. And I think she just regrets that she just stopped playing. And I think she's proud of her game. But I think she also acknowledged, which was really funny chatting to her, because she said the same thing that you said to me, was that I maybe went into the season playing like a US season and not recognizing that this is Survivor New Zealand, where the people are different. This is the very first season, and that their attitudes are going to be different to season 34, yeah, season 35 of US Survivor. So it's so interesting that you have these people who are fans and we love the game, but maybe we just have to rationalize what other people around us are also thinking.
Yeah. Look, I believe she would regret it as well from the very, very, very minimal interaction her and I've had. I just tried to tell her that, you know, you played a great game, just own it. Like you did well. But I understand that feeling of, I spoke about this last week, so I don't want to go over it again, but I was at that crossroads where I was like, everyone thinks I'm this person. Do I try and rehab my image? And I know it's not going to get me any further in the game, but it might like make me look better on TV. And I just thought, screw that. Like, I don't care how I look on TV. You just got to kind of lean into it and just keep going. And yes, you have to alter your game a little bit, but it does not matter. And you will have those regrets forever. But look, Shannon was I thought she was by far the most interesting character. And yep, as someone who I would love the chance to play with her in some capacity, or she would have been a great alliance member. And I just think that she's also would be a lot of fun. Like that whole thing with the coconut phone.
That was hilarious. I like the thing with Jack is his humor is very up and down. Like some things I love, some things I don't, but the coconut phone, having that conversation, not taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fun. And
I'm going to say better than Greg Buis,
yes,
coconut phone. So much better. And that's a controversial take. That is a hot take.
So do we rank in terms of phones on Survivor Island? So we've got Shane Powers with his BlackBerry. We've got Jack using the coconuts. And we've got obviously Greg Buis in the first season. Like, what's your 1, 2, 3?
I did like the Jack Shannon coconut conference.
Yeah.
I did like that, but you can't go past Shane's phone. Shane's island phone will always be number one. And then we'll go Jack and Shannon's coconut conference. And then below that, we'll put Greg, someone who I do not care for at all. And everyone's like, oh, we're going to have Greg back for second chances and all this. But no, thanks. I'm all right. I'm good without Greg.
One time's a charm for Greg.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I thought Shay, there was like a little quote that she said about Redemption Island. She goes, you just caught it just before they went to commercial or something. And was like, oh, I'm so sick of Redemption. I just want it to be over with. And it's like, yep, Shay, the voice of the fan base. And I just thought that was so funny because it's really, really dragging on. And I think they all feel that when he said that, you know, one person will go home and then two will go back to Redemption Island, they'll look at each other like, are you serious? We're still doing this?
I do wonder, because they lost Lou so early in the season and they didn't actually have a tribal council. So maybe this wasn't intended to go this extra one, but they've just extended it by a week. I don't know, but it's really interesting. I heard that as well. I did laugh, and I'm thinking now, she would be cheering that Redemption Island is still in play because at least she's got another chance to come back on the show. So,
What did you think of Jack's comments about how he's, you know, he's 100% getting inside Mike's head?
I like it. I think that Jack, he is someone, like I just said, he's someone that I've been hot and cold on the whole season, very Katy Perry. And I just don't, I don't know with Jack, but he comes across as the class clown, but then he has these confessionals where he seems like so smart and so socially aware of where he is, and he has an understanding of what he's doing. So I like that he's playing down, like, oh, you'll beat me. And you know what? He might just be very self-deprecating as well, and that might just be giving him strength in himself by him believing that he's doing that, maybe even if it's not intentional. So I like what he's doing. I think it's smart, but I don't know if Mark was buying it, to be honest.
I loved it, and I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to, again, another hot take here. I'm going to plant the flag.
Oh, okay.
I think Jack comes back from Redemption Island.
Wow. Jack.
Yep. If you look at the way they were foreshadowing it this episode, it was all about, you know, Mike's unbeatable. Right? Someone's got to beat Mike. What happens when Mike comes back into the game? But we kept kind of going back to Redemption Island because, and we're getting from getting things more from Jack's perspective.
Yeah.
And it was all about him kind of like showing an awareness of what's happening with between him and Mike not being aware. And I feel like that they really played up like, oh, crap, when they came back from the first, you know, the battle thing, oh, credit to Jack. He did so well with his legs were shaking the whole time. I don't know. I just have this feeling. And I think that, I guess this maybe gets, I wanted to do some predictions with you. So I thought, so this kind of feeds into my wider predictions, but did you have predictions of from, cause you've spoken to people, you know, you have a good pulse on this game. What do you think is going to happen? Do you want to kind of plant your flag for the next week?
Yeah. So I think the big thing is going to come. I think that Mike is going to come back to the game. I think, look, it's someone I've liked Mike as well. I love the captain. So I'm okay if he comes back, but I do think it comes down to that next immunity challenge. If Mike loses, he has to go. There's no ifs, no buts. They just have to get rid of him straight away. But if he wins, that's the thing. If he wins, I don't know. I feel Tom flips over. Does Arvi flip over or do they target Arvi at that point? I don't know how it shakes out, but progressing forward, my finals, I see Tom in the final. I see Barb in the final. I don't know who's that third person if it's a three-person final. I don't know who it is, but I feel like I'm very confident in Tom and Barb making it to the end. I just don't see them being targeted at all.
Yeah. Look, we are on the same page there with the I'm saying it now, a Tom Barb final two. That's my That's my prediction. But let's back step a little bit. This is my prediction here. So I feel like Jack will come back from Redemption Island for the reasons I said before. I feel that with him back, it strengthens Tom's position because Tom and Jack will definitely work together. That gives Tom many more options because he's got this relationship with Jack. He's got a relationship with Arvi. He's been working with Barb, even if it's kind of going back and forth from the hammock of doom.
Yeah.
So I do think that in that instance that Nate is definitely low man on the totem pole and that Nate's out. And I think that then we have a Arvi, Tom, Barb, and Jack final four. And at that point, I'm not sure how it'll shake out, but I do think that it'll be a probably Jack next, then Arvi in the final three. But I think that Tom or Barb, whoever wins that, Barb's been pretty competitive in the challenges. Like she's been up there.
She has been.
If either of them were to win, I just can't see them taking Arvi, even Tom. I think that's kind of the storyline we're also getting. We get a Barb-Tom final two, and Barb gets absolutely destroyed by the jury who underestimate her, and Tom takes out the whole thing.
Yeah, clean sweep. I at the moment, if I was a betting man, I would put my money on Tom. I just can't see... Everyone wants to take Tom to the end. It just does not make sense to me because at the moment, he's such the biggest threat. Like, he has the best story. He has great connections with people on the jury. It just does not make sense to me at all why you'd go with Tom. But I don't know. He's been the underdog for pretty much the whole season, and somehow he has managed to find himself in a really great position when it counts. So good luck to him.
If that is what happens, what my predictions are, I'd be happy. I'd be quite happy with that. I'd prefer Barb to win, to be honest. But I'd be happy with the Barb Tom final two.
So, Nick, I guess like a lot of the comparisons preseason was that, you know, we have Tom. He's kind of looks like a Nick Light type of player. do you feel like there's a connection there? Is that why you want him to win, or is it just continue validate his win? Has he made the moves?
There were plenty of comparisons. People were sending it to me. I even saw the comparisons. You know, a guy with dark features, a teacher.
Yeah.
But I think once the show started, it was clear that the comparisons were quite different. He is so level-headed and so softly spoken, two things that I don't think anyone has ever said about me in my entire life. But look, those are two qualities that I probably should have and probably should have had out in Survivor. But look, if he was to win, a little piece of me would be proud that a few people kind of like connected him to me. But I don't think I think we're actually getting the story of Tom winning. Yeah, I don't know.
I agree. No, I think the whole story arc has been around Tom, and it wouldn't be shocking to see him take it out.
What would be your least satisfying conclusion?
Nate winning.
Yeah.
I don't know how he would win, to be honest, and it's nothing personal against Nate. Nice guy, but just has added zero value to the whole season in terms of a character. just seems to be going with the flow. I just want him to make a move. If he had have made the move on Arvey this week, I would have just been, he would have been my favorite. I just want someone to step up and do something. And it seems like when people make a move, they're the next one out. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Someone has suggested an even more disappointing end. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, show me.
So we've got a few questions, just a couple that I want to fire at you. So Maggie Gibbons sends in a great question. She says, if whoever returns to the game ends up winning the season, would it be the worst possible way to end the first season of Survivor New Zealand?
I don't know. I think it depends who the winner was. Like, I quite like Mike. I quite like Jack. So I feel if it was either of them, it's Survivor New Zealand. It's such a different game to US Survivor, even Australian Survivor. It's been quite different. So I don't know if it would be the most disappointing end, but I could definitely see the response to people where you have someone who's actually been voted out of the game come back and win the game. I don't like that. I think, did that happen on Celebrity Australian Survivor back in like 2006? So,
oh, I've erased that from my memory. Yeah.
Oh God. So you don't want those kind of things to happen where people get a second shot and win.
I think what happened was it was someone who started the game not at the beginning of the game, like an intruder ended up winning it or something like that.
I don't know.
Like I said, erased from memory. But I know what you're saying. I don't particularly want Mike to win. If Jack was to win, I think that could be kind of like a funny end to like a wonky season. So I think that could be cool.
Sorry,
but I'd prefer if someone didn't.
If Jack does make Final Tribal, does he wear the loincloth?
Great question. Yes, I'd say so. And if he doesn't, then he doesn't deserve to win.
No. If Jack wears a loincloth, he gets my vote every day.
Exactly what I was going to say. Couple of other quick questions. Mark Percy, the great Mark Percy. He's got a lot of great graphs of like the confessional count. He's put those on the comments in the Patreon post, talking about, you know, showing who's had the most confessionals. It's definitely been Arvey by a long shot, but followed closely by Shannon, which I thought was interesting. But he also asks, it looks like an epic showdown between Tom and Arvey. Do you think that will be the case and who will win? So say there was to be those two at the end. I think that could be interesting because we would have a lot of people who would be on the jury would be, you know, those friends of Tom's from that original, from the, was it the swapped Mogaton tribe?
Yeah.
But we'd also have the people who'd like the kind of, you know, the honor of the way that Arvey played. So who do you think would win if that was them in a final two?
So let's try and break it down a little bit. Who do we think votes for who? So I think Shay and Sala definitely vote for Arvey.
Shay and Sala vote. Yep.
And then you've got, I think on the other side, I think Mike, Lee, Jack, they all vote for Tom. That leaves Barb and Nate. Oh, gosh, I don't know.
I think Nate would think that he's the kind of player, kind of person that would want to vote for Arvey.
Yeah, I agree. So that's three all. That leaves us with Barb and Shannon. I don't know. I feel like Shannon has a relationship with Arvey through the game. There was definitely a relationship and a friendship there. So does Shannon vote for Arvey?
Yeah, I feel like in that situation, Arvey still might win. I would hope that Barb and Shannon. I don't know. That's tricky. I'd say it would be Arvey, but not by much.
Yeah, and you know what, Nick? Before we had counted that, I would have said I think Tom. So when you actually go player by player, I think it's really interesting if that is the final two, and that could be quite shocking. I don't know. If Arvey won, I would still be happy for him. I would love to read his journal. I think that's the big thing here this
journal.
Season. Gosh, imagine having a journal out on the island, Nick. So that's just, you know, 20 pages on one day. So I can only imagine how full that is. But
Dear Diary.
Today I had to blindside Shay.
I love her so much.
So I don't know. I'd love to read what's in there. And if he won, I wouldn't be devastated.
Quick fire questions.
Yep.
Christian Zuccardo. Shay says, I haven't put anyone on the jury and that makes me happy. Has got to be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in Survivor. Do you agree?
Yes, it's stupid. Like, that's not what you want. You want to have made moves to put people on the jury, but them still to respect that. That's
yeah.
saying, cringe. Oh, saying I've been on the wrong side of the votes every time, I've had no idea what's going on, that doesn't say you're a good game player.
I wonder, though, if you say that during the season and then when you get to final tribal council, be like, actually, like, so you, it's okay if you can say it when everyone else is still in the game, but because you're trying to show that you know, nah, I guess even then it sucks because then people are like, oh, we can't bring her to the end. Like, everyone will vote. Yeah, no, that's just bad all round. Sorry, Shay, bad. Peggy McCabe. How do you feel about one person dominating the immunity challenge? Personally, I think it makes for a boring end of season. I guess we've got to give Tom his props. 5 immunity challenges in a row.
Yeah, is it 4 or 5? I don't know how many it's been, but he's definitely done an amazing job to keep winning and winning and winning. So I don't know. It's not boring, but you just got to give him props. He's just doing such a good job. And you know, you can see the frustration in Arvi. Every time he loses, he just adds an extra 10 pages to his diary. So he's so bitter about not winning. And he thinks it's going to be the ultimate thing where, how can I go to the end with Tom and say that I'm worthwhile if I can't say that I'm physically strong at this game? It's just, I don't know, cringe.
Last question for you. Jack May wants to know, how hungry would you have to be to eat a tomato and peanut butter sandwich?
Okay, Nick, turn your camera on, mate.
Oh my God, turn my camera on. This is like interactive.
Okay, so what I am going to show you, Nick, is I have prepared a sandwich. And this sandwich is of, and I'll show you, can you see? peanut butter.
Oh,
take a screenshot if you want, and a tomato. And it's been sitting here for the last hour, so I don't think it's been the best. But
mate, it was ruined before the hour. That is for sure.
I have not tested this theory out yet, but we are going to test this out live on air and see what this actually tastes like, okay?
Ryan, you are committed to the cause. I'll give you that much. Give it a go.
And I love
peanut
butter.
What a way to end. What a way to end the podcast. Oh, I love peanut butter, but give us your thoughts.
I got to say, probably should have gone the smooth, not the chunky, the crunchy, but it's not that bad. It's actually not that bad.
Not that bad?
I'm buying it. Yeah, so it's not so bad. So, not the worst thing I've ever eaten.
Look, I ate some nasty crap out there on the island, but that just, the thought of those two flavors combining. Ryan, well done. Well done on stomaching that. I am very impressed. But thank you so much for coming onto the podcast and talking everything Surviving New Zealand, and especially with the big week you've got coming up with your role in the press for the finale week. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Nick, it's been a pleasure. First time, like I said, my RSAB virginity has been broken by you. I wouldn't want it to be broken by anyone else. So it's been absolutely brilliant chatting. And look, I'm just so genuinely, I'm so proud of everything that you've been doing, being like an amazing part of RHAP. Like, I've been a patron for a couple of years, and it's been so great to have not only like a fellow Adelaidean there, but an Australian survivor really represent our season so well and just be such a big vocal point for everyone to listen to. So you should give yourself a huge pat on the back. You've been doing such a great job.
Thank you, Ryan. I very much appreciate that. It's been so much fun. And I've absolutely loved it. So thanks for coming on for the ride. And if you guys like listening to Ryan, this is not the last you will hear of him on the Know-It-Alls. We've got a little special surprise coming up, and we are going to be actually straight after this. We are going to be recording something that'll be released in, I'd say, so next week we'll have the finale on Know-It-Alls with Mike and Liana. And the week after that, we will be dropping the season 2 of Australian Survivor, the cast assessment, the cast preview. And Ryan and I will be breaking down everything because there's no one who knows Australian Survivor better. You were like the 25th castaway. So
I feel like that. Like I said to Craig the other day, I kind of feel like the second uncle at the wedding who's like got the table right in the back and just waving everyone like, come talk to me. So,
hey, guys.
It's been great. About Survivor New Zealand is brilliant, and you know, Survivor Nicaragua is absolutely great, but it's Australian Survivor is where it's at for me. So I'm super excited to finally be chatting about a season I'm really excited about.
Yeah, well, check that out in a couple of weeks. It's going to be released while I'm away on my honeymoon. So I hope you guys will suss it out. And Ryan, thank you so much.
Thanks,
and
Nick.
Everyone, good luck with the finale. I will be on safari and may not know what happens for quite a while, but it's been an absolute awesome journey, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and be sure to check out next week the finale. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.